folks. Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room episode 74. So guess what? That's once every 2 weeks for y'all in this 16. Y'all wasn't ready. I told you it was going to happen. Scott didn't believe me. And in the back of your mind, you're saying, Dave, it's only March. Calm your black ass down. And to hell with y'all. I'm proud of this little run, and I'm going to talk about it. So here we go. What's going on? This is Get Out the Room, your horror and pop culture podcast. I'm your host, Day. As always, I got my people with me. This time, I got one of my people and somebody special. So let me start with my people, my man Tone. What's good, brother?
What's good?
What you got in the cup tonight, man?
Oh, you know, what can Brown do for you, man?
Is it on the rocks? We got something.
You know, you don't want to mess with them. You don't want to mess with them rocks, man. Come on. Oof,
brother. Bad decisions make good stories.
And I'm full of them. Both sides.
All the stories. And yes, there was another young lady that you heard in the background. So, why don't we go ahead and talk about who this is? Young lady, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Akilah Green.
That is Akilah Green. This young lady who has a great story for us, and she's bringing a project to the show. She's going to pub it. We're going to pub it. We're excited about it. And, yeah. So, we just wanted to talk about it.
All right.
But, real quick, Get Out the Room. You can find us basically anywhere good podcasts are found. Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Wicked Radio Network, the home team. Listenopoly, your number one place for POC content on the web. So, you know, you want to find some other black and brown or even some Asian podcasts, you can go there. Check that out. But what we're here to talk about today is Miss Green. She brought something great. So, Akilah, go ahead and tell us a little bit about this project.
Sure. So I am the co-writer and producer of a new horror comedy called Scratch that was shot over the summer in August. And it is it's shot entirely on iPhones. It's a found footage horror comedy. We're calling it a found phone comedy. It tells the story of two aspiring filmmakers who decide to shoot a music video for a local new metal band on an iPhone in Los Angeles's Old Zoo. And LA's Old Zoo has a haunted history. It was shut down in the 60s due to alleged, we have to put that in quotes, I think, alleged mistreatment of the animals that were there. The cages were too small. They were underfed. Bad things happened. They closed it down and they built up a new shiny zoo in LA. But the old zoo is still there. And so it's kind of one of these haunted landmarks of Los Angeles. And when you go, it's creepy, it's sun-scorched, there's graffiti in the cages, it's empty and abandoned, and it's a great setting for a horror movie. And so the filmmakers in the movie, the movie's kind of meta-theater, so we're shooting on an iPhone about two guys shooting on an iPhone in the old zoo. And it's really, I don't want to give too much away, but it's really, they've got the phone strapped to their foreheads while they're shooting this music video, and you can tell that the old zoo is haunted by the spirits of the animals that were once trapped there. So it's a contagion story. Like one by one,
people
start to turn into their savage animalistic selves.
Okay,
and so they're not zombies. They turn into savages.
Okay,
and then you'll have to see what happens from there.
Okay. So, number one, the first thing I'm thinking, you know, when somebody says the animals were treated poorly at a zoo, that pretty much goes hand in hand.
Right.
Because they're in a zoo.
Right. But when had they been treated so poorly that the zoo shut down?
Right. That's like black people in America. Goddamn.
There's an undertone of that.
So, all right, just I'm pulling this thread.
Okay.
Who started that? Was that always inside the writing, or was that something that you brought to the table?
Which part?
the undertone of, you know, black folks and how they're treated in the country? Or,
it's interesting. That's an interesting question. So the creator and the director is Tristan Convert, who is a French filmmaker. And when I met him, he already had his characters and the story in mind. And the lead was always a black woman. And she is the lead singer of this new metal band, which is called Savage Resuscitation. And I'm always like, what am I giving away here? What I didn't want to do is have a horror movie where the black person dies first. So I won't say when or if she dies. But
on this show, if a black person dies first, we are killing your film.
Yeah, we can't talk about it. But there is something there's something that flows naturally from having a black person be the lead in a horror movie and surviving some things.
Yep.
That kind of lends itself to a conversation about black people surviving in America. So it happened very naturally.
Okay. I love the idea of a metal band led by a black female. That's
for sure
revolutionary in and of itself.
For sure. I mean, just as background about myself, I'm a lawyer and a lobbyist by trade. And so I did that for about 7 years in D.C. before I packed up and moved to L.A. a couple of years ago, because I knew I always wanted to write in Hollywood. But the idea of like representation and black women in particular in front of and behind the scenes is very important to me. And so, you know, I'm certain that we all have the same complaints about the sassy black best friend or, yep, you know, the big black woman playing a sight gag or whatever the story is. And so I really am happy to be attached to a project where we have a black woman who is the lead, who is the leader of a goth band, who's like the diva that everybody kind of revolves around. That's very exciting to me.
That's damn near revolutionary
point
in the industry. You know, trying to find a black person that plays outside of the archetype is great.
Well, it's more about like creating roles because, you know, people just want to work, you know, because the rent is always due. And so, really it's about like being able to present somebody with a role that's not typical because they're all hungry for it. Like as part of my role as being a producer, I was in charge of casting. And so I, you know, saw and auditioned tons of black women who were just excited about the opportunity to do something different.
Look, I'm sure that comparatively for what the role that you guys are offering opposed to what they get to read for every week, this must have been kind of a
ray of light.
Yeah.
For sure. And it was awesome, too, because they all kind of came to the audition in their goth band outfits. So you know, the lobby area has 20 black women. They're just decked out in, like, black and metal and frohawks. It was amazing. I should say that we ultimately cast Danielle Watts, and you might have seen her in Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
And Weeds, and she's a bunch of other things, and she's in a lot of projects now. So just shout out to Danielle, who took the part, embraced the part. And I think she was one of the ones who was super drawn to the idea of like one being the lead, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of like her character calls all the shots, and that's amazing. So
that's great.
So, as I understand it, you know, this is a horror with comedy elements, and you're the one who takes, you know, responsibility for bringing the comedy elements to the film.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your comedic sensibilities, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I came out here to be a comedy writer. And it's funny because, like, Tristan is a horror head, like, for the last 40 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's his beat. But I come to horror movies where, like, one, I want to be able to watch a movie over and over again. And some of these movies are so scary that you watch them once, right? But I feel like the 80s had these horror movies that, like, you could watch again and again, and you might be able to pull the whole family together on a Friday night, and you're going to laugh and have a good time, and, like, you know, there are gags involved. And so that's kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted something fun, like a ride, you know, and, like, where you get to that same part and you repeat the lines with the characters, because those are the kind of movies that I like. And so that's what I wanted to do to it. One of the other things that was important to me is that I feel like I've seen a number of horror movies where the entire second half of the movie, you know, when the action starts moving, the only dialogue is, oh my God, ah, what the fuck, oh no, for like an entire hour. Like, nobody has said anything that has advanced the conversation. And it was important to me that our characters keep talking. And I don't mean continuously. There's no monologuing. Like, I just mean that, like, they're saying lines that have a meaning that advance the conversation. And I wanted those lines to be witty and smart and funny. So that was kind of what I wanted to do to the script.
I love the way you're coming at this, just from everything that I'm hearing right now. It just sounds really refreshing.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, there are so many horror movies. I mean, if you turn on Netflix and you look up horror, I mean, like, it's an endless stream of titles. And they all kind of look alike, you know? Yep. And they all kind of have the same elements. So the idea was like, and I think, you know, when you come to this town and you're new and you're trying to make your first project, there are a lot of people are doing shorts and sketches and that type of deal. Making your first feature is hard. But they tell you one of the easiest ways to do it is horror, because the budget can be lower. You can get away with some things. It's a genre that has, like, a built-in audience, is what people tell you. Yep. And so what you have then is a lot of people who are making horror movies for their first movie.
Yep.
And so then it becomes a matter of, how do you stand out from that crowd? Because zombies and evil spirits and blood splattering, like, that's kind of like what you could, if you wanted to tape a horror movie together, you could throw those elements together in a pot and make something. And so we were like, well, how can we do something different? And I think one of them was, let's make it a horror comedy, make it fun, do like a shout out to 80s movies. It's also uber low budget. like.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. You ain't going to get no shame from over here.
No, I don't feel shame. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience. But it's one of those things where, like, we're not going to have $1 million budget to do some, like, special effects. Right. And you know what I mean? Like The Strain on FX, right? I think about their budget. I'm like, whoa. So we're not going to be able to do that. So then
per episode.
Right. So, you know, so, like, within our constraints, how do we make this entertaining? And I think that's why we were like, okay, let's wrap up the comedy. Yeah. Because we're not going to be able to do an explosion in a helicopter.
It would look real bad on film. You get an M80, it's just going to pop.
Right.
Well, frankly, we talk about this on the podcast quite a bit, that, you know, we're as fans of the genre, and I think it's safe to say we're aficionados at this point. You know, we're distrustful of high-budget horror films. Usually it's a sign that it's terrible and they decided to throw money at the problem.
Yep.
So, you know, you having a small budget and horror, that doesn't speak ill of your project at all. In fact, something that we specifically look for. Anytime I see, you know, anything over, say, 10 mil, I get scared.
Right. Yeah, to the point of, like, I don't even know if I should be watching this shit.
Exactly.
Because the biggest thing, especially for horror, if you are forced to be creative, it will ultimately help your writing.
For sure.
You know, because it's going to force you to place your characters in interesting positions. It's going to force you to move away from really quick decisions in terms of character development, because you're not going to get a huge big bang or, you know, some ridiculous spider. You're going to have to earn every kill, every death.
Exactly. Forces you to bet on execution, not tricks.
Yep. For sure.
So.
Absolutely. Another thing we wanted to do differently, like I said, we have diverse casting. Like, we had 8 actors. Half of them are brown or black. The lead and the villain. The hero and the villain are both women. We didn't want zombies. I feel like we've seen a lot of zombies. So our savages are different than zombies. They're not.
Don't give too much away. Don't give too
much
away.
I'm not. But they're not evil. They're just like if you, as a human, were stripped down to your primal instincts of, like, I just want food and sex, the conflict in the movie lies in the fact that they can't control their instincts. Hmm. So I say that to say that it's not your classic zombie tale.
Does the setting of the zoo have anything to do with that decision?
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
It's about the spirit of the animals.
Okay.
So that's why I'm excited about the movie and why I think it's different than stuff that you've seen before.
That's great.
Sounds amazing. How long were you all working on this?
Oh, well, the shoot itself was super quick. 8 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because our actors, like I said, like Danielle worked on Django, so she was on Quentin Tarantino's project. And a lot of our actors have been on, you know, tons of movies where the budgets were bigger. And they complimented us about how efficient our schedule ran, but it had to. You right. know what I mean?
We didn't have money to have y'all out here for 10 nope. days.
We don't have an extra day for that.
Y'all got 8 days.
So we would get to the park at 4:30 in the morning. It's still pitch black outside.
Yep.
And it's a park. And, you know, coyotes, snakes, whatever. And we'd have headlamps. And we'd be building up our base camp. Because you can't leave it overnight at the park.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'd be building up our base camp in the dark with our headlights so that as soon as the sun broke, we were ready to shoot. Actors dressed, everybody's ready. Yeah. Wow. And, like, on schedule. No time for delay. So, yeah, and our actors, I just have to say, were just down as fuck, and I appreciate them so much. Because play in the zoo, in the dirt, in the heat, in the sun. Yeah, and like I said, there's no green rooms and sparkling water and grapes and right. You know what I mean. And so
y'all can get this Costco water, these truck tacos,
box of croissants, box croissants. Okay, So they were down, but like they also understood, you know, like we got maybe two takes. You know,
ain't too much improvising. Come ready with these scripts. You gotta know your lines, people.
And they did. And then they also improvised, which was great. They did a great job with that as well.
That's fantastic.
And we had fun, which was also good.
Can I ask you now? This is something that I've actually just something I've been paying attention to from other sisters in the industry. They've said that I've kind of just noticed from having it been pointed out to me by them. You don't often get a chance to see sisters in silly roles, like just do silly stuff. And since this is a horror comedy, I wonder, do we get to see, you know, sisters like having fun and like cracking jokes and, you know, I mean, do we get a little bit of mirth in there?
So that's not her character because she's the lead singer of this band and she's trying to make her first music video. She's like a personal assistant as her day job and she's hoping for her big break. And she's the most serious and has the most on the line for this. So she's a bit high strung and a little bit of a pampered princess. So she's like, I can't believe y'all have me out in an abandoned zoo. I can't believe you shoot me on an iPhone. So she is not lighthearted in this movie. She has some comedic scenes that are very physical and very funny. But it's not because she's like lighthearted or whimsical.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's not her role. She's a foil to the director who, like, she's very collected and the director's kind of, he's trying to pretend as though he has it together and he does not.
All right. So, to kind of piggyback off of the earlier question, let's say, what's your foundation in comedy? You know, are we talking Martin, A Living Color? We talking, you know, Red Fox, you know, Maul's mate, you know, like Mom Mabel, like you know, what are we talking about?
I mean, you know, so I will say that I became I'm interested in sitcom writing, and as a result of sitcom writing, I became interested in stand up, and I started doing stand up.
Do the improv stuff out here?
I've done improv, but I prefer stand up.
Did you do stand up at the improv in DC?
I did.
The amateur night on Tuesdays?
I've done amateur night on Fridays.
Oh, jeez, okay. I didn't do it on Fridays. You know, I've done it before, so I know that I know that feeling of being up on stage and not having some shit land. So
yeah.
That incredibly alone feeling.
Where it's just quiet.
Yep.
And you know people want to root for you, but they just can't.
Yeah, your shit just really funny.
Yeah, DC Improv is my home, my comedy home.
All right.
Well, given that you're more into sitcoms, you know what? Give us three.
Yeah. So I mean, and you know, most people are disappointed in my top three.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. My favorite all time forever sitcom is Mad About You.
Oh, okay. I see where we're going.
That's a solid choice, though. Yep. Hey, don't sleep on Paul Reiser. That's right. A solid choice.
At all. He's the first comic when I moved to LA, I came to see him do stand-up. He is my guy. Mad About You is my favorite. I watch it to this day. It does not get old for me. Second in line, Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
Solid choice. Can't argue there.
Solid choice. And then third, it could be seven. It could be one of seven different shows. I'm a fan of HBO comedies.
Okay.
So, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Larry David.
Yep. Sex in the City. I'm a Sex in the City fan. And I'm watching Veep. Veep is my favorite that's on now.
Veep is dope.
Okay. Yeah, I got a real strong sense of your sensibility. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I almost want to ask how you would describe it, but I'm scared.
Your sensibilities? I'm seeing, witty, intellectual humor. Yeah. A little highbrow, but not afraid to get silly at times.
Yeah,
I think that'll be good. I'm excited.
That's an excellent way to put it. You know,
I like that.
There's definitely a bit of highbrow to it because Veep is not a show for either the uninformed or like not bright. Like it's a difficult show to watch if you're not bright.
Right. Yeah, it's intelligent humor.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with stupid humor, because I love some silliness too, but yeah, it's definitely intelligent humor.
There's generally a ton of that out there.
What's that?
There's a ton of not lowbrow humor. A lot of times it's like we're just going to go ahead and shoot for the lowest common denominator. We don't care. We're just going to throw it out there. Put it out there.
Well, it's easier.
but to find that mixture between someone who's really doing, either. So on this other show, I have Situational Economy. The other co-host, Leighton, he likes high concept. He's always a fan of high concept.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, there was a show that on ABC that failed where all of it took place in a bar on one night, the entire season. So you're getting
mythology.
I forgot the name of it.
I think it was Mixology.
It was Mixology. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, I remember y'all roasted
that shit. the entire season was basically told from different perspectives of the people in a bar at one night.
Right.
For that to work, the amount of high...
For sure.
The high intellect quirk has to work, man. And that shit ain't happen.
Yeah.
But for you, it just seems like that's the lane that you would really work well in.
So, I came out here right in television and comedy in particular.
What was your spec?
I have two. Veep is one, and New Girl is another.
Hey, don't play with me now. Talk about that New Girl.
Listen, hardcore fan.
Yeah, we've been dying off that. We were on that really, really early.
Yeah.
Lord. Opponents, early adopters.
Yeah.
Season one, episode one.
Yeah, we were on early. When Coach was, the first time Coach was there.
Right.
I love
New Girl.
If you look at that first season where everything kind of revolved around Zooey Deschanel and her adorkableness,
right,
where it is now, it's more of an ensemble where they really get the best out of, Max Greenfield and, Jake Johnson and Lamont Morris, who's turned into the low-key MVP of the show.
Seriously.
Every time Winston's on screen, he's dope.
Oh, steals it.
Every time. And especially with Nina Pedrad. Love her.
Yeah.
Like, I said that in front of my wife the other day. I had to catch myself, slow up, dog.
Watch out.
What you doing? But yeah, I just love what they've done with that show now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, so sensing that sense of that, I think that's really great. Bodes well.
Yeah. So like I was saying, right now I'm working on Chelsea Handler's new Netflix talk show.
Yeah.
And it's about current events and politics and, you know, social issues. And everybody there has some kind of like news or political background.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. After watching her Netflix kind of quasi documentary series,
Chelsea Dove.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Oh, good.
Whatever she's got coming up next after that.
Yeah, we definitely watch Chelsea Does. Watch Chelsea Does awesome. Drugs. Chelsea Does Race. You know the. Marriage? I haven't seen Marriage or Silicon Valley yet.
Okay.
Silicon Valley was funny.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I do a lot out there, actually. So, you know, I have an event April 8th through the 10th out at LinkedIn. Headquarters, right, directly across you. We were at Google last year. And, you know, we did a tech boot camp at LinkedIn. This year, we're going to be at the LinkedIn headquarters.
Okay.
The one in Mountain View and in San Francisco. So, I know that space pretty well.
Yeah. I think you will enjoy it then.
Okay. That's great. So yeah, so you know, we're not, you know, we don't stick in one area. We will.
I see. I kind of want to see if I can throw something out there and throw you guys off because it seems like you watch everything, which is great.
We are consumers of pop culture and
you know, very much so.
shit that we find interesting.
Right.
You know, because there's a lot of shit out here right now, especially with the different mediums, Amazon, Hulu, mm-hmm. Netflix, and even the mainstream stuff. You know, CW is killing it right now. On the low, people not paying attention. Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend are incredibly, incredibly well done. Both of which.
Shout out to my almost half brother Burl.
Yeah, man. No one's really checking. People obviously are watching. Since CW, iZombie also on there, they renewed all 11 of their shows.
Yep.
And as they should have. They don't really have a bad show on right now.
Nope.
Other than Supernatural, but we won't get on that.
What's this, season 13 at this point?
Man, I don't even know.
I mean, you were the Supernatural dude, so.
Oh, I still am. I watch every episode, but
that's crazy.
I'm not going to lie and say it's good.
Okay. I mean, as long as we know what's really popping. Just saying. But, you know, I say all that to say that you can go to places that you're not necessarily, you know, expecting to find and find some really good quality out there.
For sure. I'm overwhelmed with my DVR.
Oh, absolutely.
End of the week. Because there's just too much good stuff out there. And then I have to clear it out because Sunday night is also good.
Well, you know.
Yes.
Throne's about to come on, so. Y'all know how that's going to be.
I watched Billions, Shameless, Girls, Togetherness.
Togetherness is an incredible
Togetherness
show.
Is one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, look, Mark Duplass has found a lane for himself.
For sure.
He's created a leading man lane for himself that I don't think many people expected to be able to do.
No.
And Amanda Peet is always
to put yourself as the lead in your own stuff. Like, that's how you do it.
Well, Mark and Jay, you know, as a writing team, I think they chose the right Duplass brother to be the leading actor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To be real about it, like, that's the way you do Hollywood now. Don't wait for somebody else to make you a leading person.
Yeah.
Write your own shit and make yourself leading.
Mark Duplass gave an amazing talk at South by Southwest last year about how to, like, break into the industry and, like, make your own stuff, which was inspiring. And Tristan and I sat down and watched it before we started cranking on Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing and inspiring.
He's really tough, man. I really like that kid a lot. And I love what he's done with his career.
Mm-hmm. And every time you get on Netflix, there's a new movie that he's got out that, like,
correct. Correct.
He does not stop working.
Nah, and then his wife, he got her doing shit too. Katie Hazelton also out there working.
Gotta respect that hustle too.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know,
in the family.
You know, especially the way you watch, if you watch the league kind of wind down, you could tell they phoned this shit in the last season. Like, they were real ready to be done with it at that point. Okay. But there's still so much of, like, this is something that they created out of damn near nothing, man. and they got five good seasons out of it. That's a great run.
It is.
That's a tremendous run. And let's be honest. I mean, the league was far above average. I mean, it wasn't just no regular show. I mean, at least for a couple of seasons, it was A-plus comedy. So
I agree.
To be able to do that out of nowhere is, mm-hmm. you know, it's impressive to say the least.
With literally no leading anything. Think about this. Who before that show came out were you going to put as build anything? You're not going to build somebody as like, here's the top star for this.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. No, they started from scratch.
Yeah. Ha.
Ha ha.
See what we did there. Bam. 360. We came all the way back around.
Right.
But it's great to hear that, you know, your sensibility in comedy is different. I think, especially for black female writers, everybody assumes that, you know, it is going to be Martin or Living Single.
Right.
Or, you know, A Different World. And especially our generation, A Different World more so than The Cosby Show.
Right.
Yes.
Because they definitely had a much different feel, especially for our age group. Then, you know,
and I loved A Different World. Don't get me wrong.
I bet you did.
But I probably watched Everybody Loves Raymond with more intensity.
Wow. Okay.
Crickets.
Wait. So where are you from?
Houston.
What part?
Neighborhood. That's cold. I'm from Cypress.
Okay. All right.
A little bit outside of Houston.
I mean, Houston is, like, the rest of the country is just outside of Houston.
Right.
I mean, you can drive through Houston for an hour, and people are like, so what part of Texas are we in? Houston?
Right.
You know, go from Sugar Land to, you know, way up north, you're like, oh, shit, we still in Houston.
Right. I'm from one of those sprawling suburbs outside of Houston.
One of those. It's really funny. Okay. All right. You know, it's always real strange to me to hear people's go-tos. I was watching something yesterday, and it was black people's first time watching Friends. Which I thought was hilarious, the way they killed it.
You said that to me.
Yo, the way they killed it. And this was also like the pilot. They watched the pilot.
Okay.
Which is a terrible representation of what Friends became. But also, it's a really good representation of who Friends is.
Yeah.
You know,
like, what was the show that was bought?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So, I always find that very funny, because there are a lot of black folks who just like, oh, you watch Friends? Like, yeah, because this show was fucking hilarious. But all of your criticisms are 100% correct.
For sure.
How you gonna live in Greenwich Village? There ain't no black people, ain't no gay people, ain't no Asian people, ain't no Hispanic people. So it's just all straight white people? That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, all the criticisms are completely justified, but the show's still funny.
It's an interesting thing because they always do that to New York. Like, so many short shows that were set in New York are just completely whitewashed and cleaned up. And, yeah.
Now, that was the argument that was around Girls. We talked about this years ago.
We killed that situation. And on what?
And Sex in the City.
Right.
But I always felt, and this was the argument I always made, I was like, you know what? I don't often get a look into the lives of, uppity white girls. Like, that's not my lane. I don't get to swim in those waters. So my whole thing was like, this doesn't need any black people in it. Like, let me just enjoy my little peek through the window of privilege for a second. You know,
I think that a lot. I had that very thought when watching Togetherness the other day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, the Duplass brothers are prolific at this point. Like, they're always cranking something out. There's never a black person in it. And I was thinking, like, but, like, one, do they hang with black people? Like, is that their experience, or would they be forcing some artificial experience? And could they write for the character? And so then is the issue that I want them to put a black person in Togetherness, or do I just want a black person to have the opportunity to create their own Togetherness?
There you go.
Yeah, or do we need a black writer on the staff? You know, because the other thing, and I think this is something that a lot of white writers have come to, and this is as a recent, I think, nobody wants to be responsible for writing an ethnic character and writing it wrong.
Sure. Because, you know, we there's a lot of clapback.
Oh, yes.
Oh, clapback too strong out here. This is
right. Shit, you know. You can drag my Black Twitter that way.
Yo, Black Twitter is amazing how quickly and strongly they will come for you.
And strongly.
Like don't be out here, you know, weak-handing that keyboard, cuz.
Nope.
I mean, I think that's good, but I think, you know, the way the industry is starting to break down, I won't say the industry, but the gates are starting to break down, you know, the hordes are at the door. There's so many different venues and channels. There's Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and web series. And, you know, I just feel like I don't have a problem with togetherness being Lily White. I got no problem with girls being mashed potatoes. We got other venues. I just want to see Black folks get their stories out in a manner of their choosing. So
right, not the same story.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Show me some different stuff. Not that there was anything wrong with that.
Really interesting. And how, you know, your film plays out, just because I love the setup so far. I just love the setup. I just feel like the setup is great. You know, where you're coming from, the voice that you write with.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. So right now we're doing our Indiegogo campaign.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that for sure, because movies cost money. So
raise these funds, get this distribution. Seriously.
So Tristan paid for like the shooting of the movie out of his pocket. And part of that decision, was like, you know, we finished it, and now we're in the post-production phase. And so we're trying to raise finishing funds for post. So editing, color balancing, sound mixing, securing music rights, et cetera. And then also for, festivals and entering into festivals. So we launched an Indiegogo campaign last week. The 1 week anniversary, and we've raised 40% of our goal. We're very excited about that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you have a page address where, you know, we can push this out a little bit more?
I got a Indiegogo link, but really it's just Scratch the Movie on Indiegogo.
Okay. We'll definitely put it out there and, you know, get it into our networks and.
Yeah, everybody, you know. What we're looking for, I mean, like, you know, yes, finishing funds for sure, but also like we just want people to like to learn more about the project and get excited about it and like be talking about it, because I think once you learn about it, it's something new and refreshing for you to get excited about. So if you're a horror fan or a movie fan, or you like, you know, coming to Hollywood stories and people making their dreams come true, like there's a lot in it for everybody. And so we'd love it if you just come by our page and like, you know, come by our, we're all over social media on Twitter, Scratch the Movie, on Instagram, on Facebook. Just come say hello, like us, share a smile. We appreciate all of that.
Great. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll definitely try and get folks to come out there and get some dough.
Yeah. That'd be likes and posts and retweets are great. Dough is also really great. And we've got some fun perks too. Like I said, Tristan is like a hardcore horror fan, and so he's always wanted like actual props from movies that he's watched.
Okay. You know?
And so we're some of our perks include some of the weapons and the blood and the nails and stuff that we used in the movie. We're giving out posters, art, chat, Skype conversations, a tour of the haunted zoo led by Tristan himself, and Tristan's a really wacky, interesting guy.
You said he's French?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll just add, he and his best friend came over for the summer to help with the movie. So two French guys. And they just brought a very French sensibility to the movie that, you know, like French filmmaking, the French film industry is very different than ours. Very kind of artsy, experimental, which is also very cool, a very cool layer that they brought to the film.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different boundaries, I'll say. One of the funniest incidents is that what they think is nude and what is actually nude are two different things. It caused a little bit of a ruckus with the park monitors. A little bit of a ruckus. Because you can't be nude in the park, guys. Just know that.
Your permit only goes so far.
It only goes so far. But then you have savages. So anyway, there's an interesting push and pull.
You got those European sensibilities.
European sensibilities, but we were all like, "Really, you're gonna hold that line? You're gonna, you're with a straight face, you're gonna say that they are not nude? I'm rolling with you. We are on this team together."
But the nipples is out. We can see them. You're all looking at them. What do you mean it's not nude?
Yeah.
There's tinsel hair down there, brother. I can see it. Just tell me that this is not nude. Just because she has flip flops on, no.
It's funny, there was we have a scene in the movie where a park ranger scolds some people, and like, you know, art imitates life, life imitates art, because we definitely had like, conversations with the rangers.
Like, but, you know, probably should have just kept that rolling. Insert that.
Right, right. It was a crazy and fun shoot, and I had a great time. And, you know, when you do, like, low-budget indie stuff, you wear all of the hats.
Yeah.
And so I was in charge of the permits and the insurance and the contracts and the clearance and the wardrobe and the location scouting. And it's just, like, an experience that I would not give back. It was great.
That's incredible, man. You said it was 8 days during the heat.
The heat, four in the morning in the dark. Yeah.
Do you think having that experience behind the camera now, do you see that affecting your writing sensibilities? Do you think that'll bleed into your writing?
For sure. For sure. I mean, part of what I do on Chelsea's show is I come up with the topics that they're going to explore on the show. So, like, it's my job to come up, like, what's interesting. I generate the ideas. I research them and I pitch them. And part of pitching them is kind of like beating it out into a field shoot. So, like, what... This is a funny idea, but, like, what can we see visually? What's possible? What's interesting? What's funny? And, like, my experience working on Scratch definitely helped with me being able to, like, take a story from, like, this is a funny line of dialogue, and then, like, executing it all the way to the end. What can we do with this that would be visually appealing on screen? So, yeah, it's definitely been helpful in that way.
That's pretty fantastic, man.
I'm
also excited to see, you know, what comes of the work with Chelsea's new show, especially knowing that, you know, you're part of the brain trust of the ideas and where we go. I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's a fun job.
It's great.
And a fun show.
Fun show. Hopefully it'll allow you to, you know, not just promote Scratch and get Scratch to a point where a lot of people can see it, but, you know, whatever project you have next.
Yeah.
You know, it's not your last project. So
it's not. It's my first project.
Yeah. So that's great. I'm really excited about it.
Thanks. And shout out to Sid for connecting us. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sydney, you know, my sister, she real good to be like, yeah, I'm not about that horror life, but here you go.
Yep. Yep.
That connection.
Everybody serves a purpose. We appreciate Sid. She's like, this is what I do have for you.
Right, right. Which is great. I love her for that.
Yep, yep.
All right, y'all. This has been, you know, Keila, this has been great, man. We appreciate you so much for, you know, taking your time and, A, kind of blessing us with exposure to the project you're working on and everything. And, two, hanging out for as long as you did. If you ever feel like you just want to come hang out, you can come hang out with us anytime you want.
Absolutely. Talk
is
great.
Anytime.
I appreciate that. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for talking with me about Scratch. And thanks for offering to kind of talk about Scratch with your followers and your fans. Everybody, follow us on social media, Scratch the Movie. Check us out on Indiegogo. Give a dollar or two if you feel inclined. But most to get excited about the movie and you two, I just appreciate our conversation so much, Damon and Tone. I love talking about TV, and I'm so glad that you guys were able, like, you guys are so well-versed in an impressive way. So I just enjoy talking on TV with other TV heads. So that was awesome, and I would love to come back.
Great.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to get out of your tone before we make that good exit?
Walking Dead, still boring. Other than that, we're good.
I can't wait to get you and Scott in a room. Because, ooh, I can't wait. Oh.
I ain't never scared.
Oh, I know. I just like hearing the two opposite sides, and I'm excited for it. But yeah, so we'll get into that, and the much ballyhooed 10 Cloverfield Lane, we'll talk about that next time. So yeah, get out the room. You can find us on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Listenopoly, Wiki Radio Network. You can find me at DAE021 on Twitter, or at Get Out the Room. Tone, where can people find you?
Faith William Cat on Twitter. I'm usually live tweeting something ridiculous and just foolish and ratchet, so there's that. And obviously at Get Out the Room.
Yep. Beautiful. So again, thanks to Mr. Kayla Green for joining us tonight, and to all our people, man. We appreciate y'all, and we'll catch y'all next time, man.
Bye.
Peace.